Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. He is Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richey, and we're in Newport Richey. Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the water damage whisperer. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. Ira Kaufman, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing well. I should be sunning myself on a beach in Sanibel Captiva right now. We were supposed to go for the week, but those plans have been scuttled. Health issues in the family. Hope everything turns out okay. We'll check out with the doctor tomorrow. But, Steve, you got to be careful. At my age, when you make plans, you better have a backup. You better have a money-back guarantee. Otherwise, that money's going to fly out of your checking account.
Or a bathroom.
Or a bathroom.
Just to be clear, Ira, you are not under the weather.
I am not. Going into this podcast, I'm feeling fine.
Except your wallet.
But, of course, depending on how Isbitz conducts himself during this podcast, my demeanor could change.
All right. Well,
with a coconut donut?
No donut. No cosmic donut.
We got no donuts today, Ira.
And by the way, Panera, if you're listening, do a better job with your desserts over there. Come on. Give me something that can entice me over
No
there.
Scones.
Yeah, Ira,
scones.
Coming after
I can't
Panera.
Even pronounce it.
Coming after Panera.
You can't even pronounce scones.
What am I, the royal family with scones?
Yeah.
Not happening.
You don't like doughy scones?
Not happening.
All right, Sage, look. You will feel better if you go to BillCurryFord.com and check out all of their savings. That's the Curry family, third generation family dealership. Third generation, right there a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Don't worry.
Drive Curry.
Drive Curry. Very good, Ira. And Sean Sullivan's the GM over there. He will help you personally. He will give you the Ira Kaufman discount. He will answer your questions. Just reach out to him. Imagine having a cousin you like in the car business. That's Sean Sullivan. You can find his email at BillCurryFord.com.
He's also knee-deep into the 2025 NFL draft, Steve.
Absolutely, yeah. He is our draft guru, and you can listen to his best-in-class podcast. And he's done a few breakdowns already. We got linebackers in the book.
He just did corners.
Edge rushers and cornerbacks. So you can catch up, get up to speed, and we'll have Sean.
And I believe the Bucs are interested in all three positions, right, Lee? Edge rusher, inside linebacker, and cornerback.
And this, well, I can't remember the guy's first name. His last name is Knight. Not Bobby Knight, but Knight, inside linebacker for South Carolina. Maybe a third-round pick. I asked Sean about him, and Sean is outraged. Outraged that anybody would compare this guy to K.J. Britt. Sean loves him, but apparently he's not so good at pass coverage. And people are saying, oh, he's another K.J. Britt. Oh, don't tell that to Sean. Please, no,
but
he's
not the guy he's got rated above Campbell. There's another guy that he's got rated.
A guy from Georgia who, he's not the only one. Mike Mayock said he's next Micah Parsons.
But he won't be there at 19.
No. Unless there's some, another, who was that, Laramie Tunsil came out with a bong mask. That'd be the only way.
Yeah.
Schedule your mobile service at Bill Curry Ford. They will come out to your home, do service there, or pick up your vehicle, take it back to the dealership. They can get you a loaner. It doesn't cost any extra. It's amazing. Bill,
I've never heard of a dealership that'll come out to your driveway and do the work right there or take your car in.
Sure, you heard it. It's called Bill Curry Ford.
Bill Curry Ford.
Now, my Ford F-150, which I got at Bill Curry Ford, the only time that thing's ever been in a garage, I got 80,000 miles on it. The only time that truck has ever been in a garage is regular maintenance. I can't recommend a Ford F-150 any harder. Anymore.
What about all the potato chips wedged into the front seat and the passenger
That's
side?
That's called a vacuum sweeper at Shell.
There you go.
Sage, our other friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, they take care of us here on the podcast, Florida's Elite Restoration. Now, we recently had a listener who had some water in his walls and had an issue called Florida's Elite Restoration. And you know what? I reached out to Josh and I said, hey, you know, we heard on social media somebody reached out to you. You know what he sends me back? He sends me their internal diagnostic report from the guy's house. But that's what they offer, Ira. Free evaluation at your home. Best technology. They're the experts. 5-star Google reviews. Florida's Elite Restoration. They service basically the whole state. Don't hesitate. They're based here in the Tampa Bay area. But if you've got a big problem across the state, you know, wherever you may be, give them a shout. They were out there servicing homes everywhere during the hurricane.
Ask for the Sage discount.
Get
Steve.
That Sage discount. What you do is when you call, you say, I heard about you guys from Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks fan. If you need them after the full evaluation, you'll get $500 off whatever your agreement is. And they can restore your property, but they can also repair it. So if your kitchen gets trashed for a flood, they can get you a new kitchen as well if that's what you need. So floridaselite.com. Get there now so you're prepared for a disaster. Storm season is around the corner. Ira, a lot of interesting things going on. Jason Light, I'll start with him. He sat down with on ESPN, Ira, with John Schneider, the Seahawks general manager since 2010. Those two guys are among the top five tenured general managers in the league.
Both with rings.
Both have rings, exactly.
Schneider's well-regarded, as is Light.
And so they sat down with Mike Tannenbaum, who was not very highly well-regarded as the Jets general manager, but he was there with Rex Ryan and, you know, didn't do a horrible job.
He's had a nice second career on media.
On television, yeah, absolutely. And anyway, so he sat down. They had a little roundtable chat, about 20 minutes or so, and it was revealed that Light has called Tannenbaum in the past for counsel on certain things a handful of years ago, but Light referenced something. But one thing that came up, Ira, as we head toward the draft, Light said on that sit-down, he said, you know, first couple of years as a GM, I was terrible at what I was good at because he was spending so much time on stuff and wasn't delegating that essentially what he was saying was I came in as a great scout and I really wasn't scouting and I screwed up. Your thoughts there and the evolution of Light?
Whatever the reason, Lee, and we can debate that all night long, whatever the reason, what can't be debated is Light's been a hell of a lot better talent evaluator in terms of the draft in the last 5 years as he was in the first 5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
That can't be debated.
Cannot be debated.
And I'm not just talking about Jameis Winston because there's a lot of guys that would have taken Jameis Winston.
Sure.
Any team that was looking for a quarterback in 2015 would have taken Winston or maybe Mariota, one or the other. So I'm not going to kill Light on that one. But the Aguayos and the Hargraves of the world, tough to stomach. Noah Spence, tough to stomach. Has he made some mistakes in the last five? Of course he has. Nobody hits 100%.
Nobody.
Even Polian says it's a 50%, even in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
His middle rounds have been spectacular the last 5 years. Spectacular. I did a list the other day. Steve saw the column. I didn't even mention Antoine Winfield as a home run that wasn't a first-round pick. I was focused more on rounds three and four.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a couple of things about Light that I think he deserves a lot of credit for. One, speaking of credit, he never tries to take all the credit for the good draft picks.
Just the opposite, actually.
Just the opposite.
Yeah.
He's always doling out the compliments to his staff.
Mike Beal.
And Mike Beal. And like Steve just mentioned, Lee, I think a lot of the reasoning behind that is that he used to be them.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably back then he would like a little acknowledgement when he was a lowly scout. And he's great about spreading out the compliments. I think that's a very admirable quality about Light. Now, he gives you nothing in his pre-draft interview, and we all laugh. We walk away saying, what'd he say? He say anything? You know, the draft's deep in running backs. The draft's deep. You think you'll move up this year? We could move up. We could move down. Yeah, you know. Light has developed a reputation, Lee, and I think it's justified, as one of the top draft evaluators in the National Football League. You know, his right-hand guy, Spytek, just you know, Brady's no fool. Brady wanted Spytek, and he got him.
Yep.
By hanging around with Spytek for 3 years, he saw that this guy's sharp. And you don't pull the wool over Tom Brady. Not about football.
Didn't Spytek have a weekly sit-down with Brady where he would go over his scouting report of the opponent?
Oh, you know, I don't know about that. But,
that's what I heard. That, yeah.
So they developed a close relationship.
Yeah, and then, oh, by the way, look what happened.
So anyway, bottom line, Light's reputation is very, very strong in NFL circles right now. He could lose another guy next year. Could be a Beal. He could lose Greenberg. But, you know, that's the price you pay when you're successful, Lee.
Yeah.
They want your guys.
And I think Light wants his associates to succeed in their careers. That's another reason why I think he's pushing them so much.
Now, Steve, you weren't trying to insinuate that Light's going to go out on the stump and see some guy from Kansas State in the middle of the year, are you? I mean, doesn't he rely on his
goes on the road.
He goes on the road. He's been known to, actually, when Alabama played here in the Outback Bowl, or whatever they call it now.
Yeah.
He was very excited to be there in person and scout those guys.
Doesn't he do that sometimes on a Buck road trip?
Usually on a Bucks road trip.
Where he gets in early, coming a day early, maybe?
Well, what he will do is, and I'll just throw something out there. Let's say, for example, let's say the Bucks play at Kansas City. Light will go to either Kansas or Iowa State or Missouri or some school within like a two-hour radius. He'll go straight to that town, and then on Sunday morning, he'll show up at the Bucks game. Most of the time, he takes advantage of road games and uses those as scouting opportunities.
Okay.
even though he's a general manager, he's not a stranger to press boxes in college.
Does he go to a lot of pro days, Steve? You show up at pro days?
Some.
He'll show up if he, you know, but not a lot. No, definitely not. But Ira, let me throw this to you then. You know, you mentioned Jameis Winston and started this by saying light, pretty much saying I wasn't very good at my what I was good at, which is scouting or and my craft early in my career. I would put out there, you tell me if you agree or disagree, that if the Jason Light of today was scouting the 2015 draft, he wouldn't draft Jameis Winston because he'd say this guy is not the caliber of guy, the type of guy that we want in this locker room. I don't do the red flags anymore like that.
I would tend to agree with what Steve just said.
I would absolutely agree.
Yeah.
I would absolutely agree. Because at the time, Light was still, he didn't have any job security. And if you nail the number one quarterback, you're set for 20 years probably. And so you're going to take a little bit more risks. Now, since we brought up Light, I got to give this guy some credit because he listens to 20,000 more podcasts than I ever do. I've got my wheelhouse, and that's about it. He found a Mark Dominic interview. And
does he do it, Lee? How does he do it?
Well, they put a microphone in front of his face.
But how does his bits do it? How does he find these things?
I think I know it was
Google search.
Well, that's easy. But what I think he does, you've never told me this. What I think you do is, I know guys that do this. I'm not one of them. You listen to these damn things at like four times the speed where you can barely make out their words, and then you hear something say bucks, and you stop.
I can't divulge.
Don't divulge your secret.
But what Lee's about to talk about.
Dominic, yeah.
I've been sitting on that interview since the end of February. It just was a fun time to spit it out. But it was really stunning, and thankfully I didn't get a nasty text from Mark Dominic.
Is he still on Sirius, Dominic?
Oh, yeah. And Mark's a nice guy. You weren't there. Steve was, I think, interviewing someone. Dominic came by when we were at the combine, came by at the table. And, hey, how you guys doing? You know, I always got along with Dominic. I like him a lot. But this, we're talking about Light and Steve's story about Dominic. He'll go into more detail. Just shows you the polar opposites these guys are. And I'll give you an example. Now, I'm not going to spill the beans on Light here because what he told me was not, and this is years ago he told me this, it was not meant for public consumption. But when he was working with the Patriots, Belichick gave him a project. He said, every good edge rusher, they all have a common denominator. I'll give you 30 days. Come and tell me what it is. So Light busted his tail, researched 25, 30 years in the past.
You mean edge rushers that made an impact in the NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Light went nuts. He did research. He did everything he could to come up with the research. And so after 30 days, he meets with Belichick. Belichick said, what'd you find? And Jason, what he told me, he told Belichick, well, because the only thing I can find is blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to spill the beans.
Oh, like a common trait.
Yeah,
a
common denominator. And when he told Belichick his answer, Belichick pointed at him, winked at him, and nodded yes. Like, you got it.
Like,
and
figured out the puzzle?
Like,
so why did he draft Noah Spence?
Well, that's... It really has nothing to do with X's and O's, oddly enough.
All right.
And it's just the opposite of why Dominic didn't draft Cam Jordan.
Oh!
So, Sage, Mark Dominic's, he joins this podcast with Sumer Sports, and he sits down, and they're asking him questions about the draft, and... You know, Dominic's always great for revealing a few nuggets of Bucks history, you know, because that's all he's got. It's who he worked for. And he was obviously GM, and he's always interviewed as a GM, so he relies on some of his GM moments.
But he was with them a long time before he was GM.
Yeah,
too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Two decades
Pro
total.
Personnel, yeah.
Two decades total. So anyway, he basically explains why he can't evaluate offensive linemen. And Dominic's saying this, and not realizing the irony that the guy who took over for him
is
his wheelhouse. Yes,
is unbelievable at it. Is picking D2 and D3 players, and they're working out just fine. And Dominic says, the problem is when you're evaluating these guys in college, they're going against 18 or 19 year olds, 22 year olds, but they're not going against 28 year old men, big dudes and stuff. So Dominic said, seeing that, and I'll quote him, and watching that play out makes an offensive line a lot harder to evaluate. I didn't draft many offensive linemen. I did what former Giants assistant GM Mark Ross talked about. I either kept our own and went and bought them from somewhere else, but I wasn't going to go, quote, let's go risk a pick. Let's go risk a pick on an offensive lineman. I listened to that like 10 times. I can't believe he sat there saying this as a strategy. Now, in his defense, the Bucs offensive line was not their problem.
No, it was not.
In 2012 and whatever. But Dominic only drafted one offensive lineman, a fifth-round pick in his first year, and the guy never saw the field. But your thoughts on it?
They got Donald Penn.
Donald Penn was off the practice squad. They plucked him in like 06.
Good player.
And Davin Joseph, or FYI, Davin Joseph was drafted by Bruce Almighty.
Yeah, before Dominic.
Did we need another reason why Dominic doesn't have a job in football?
Please. I can't rag on him. He's nice to me. But good to Steve.
That's a very strange theory about drafting offense.
Yeah, when I read that, I was like,
I mean, they're the engine of your offense. Yeah, you know.
When I read that, my first reaction was just what Steve said. The guy that came after you, that's his wheelhouse. But then I also thought about, Mark Dominic came very open about why he didn't draft Cam Jordan. And that's just the opposite of the research that Belichick and Light had on edge rushers. Just the opposite.
By the way, we talked about Winston Steve, and you asked that question about whether the Light of 2025 would draft Winston. If the Bucs craved a quarterback and they had the number one pick, would Light pick Winston this year under the sort of template that Light uses now to evaluate prospects? And we all three of us said he would not.
Unless ordered.
And I want to bring this up, Steve. Now, it was only one guy in one comment underneath my last column, which talked about how Light might drop back, maybe even out of the first round, and try to accumulate picks. My main reason was this is not a desperate football team. It's not desperate. And if you're drafting Campbell out of Alabama, I'm not sure he's going to start in year one.
Yeah.
He might. Well, anyway, the guy started talking about Hassan Reddick. I don't know if he was a Eagles fan, but he talked about not his year with the Jets, which was a nightmare, but he tried to suggest that Reddick wore out his welcome in Philadelphia by not paying attention to the run, by being a little lazy, maybe being late at meetings. I haven't read that about Reddick in Philadelphia.
I can find out really easy.
Steve, you got any questions about Reddick's time in Philly, and did they sour on him? You think that's a legitimate point of view?
Well, Ira, I've heard some stuff surrounding that. I don't really know what's real or what's not. And I mentioned this previously. I've finally finished watching the Jets film on Reddick.
Oof.
And man, I don't have a lot of confidence that he's going to have a great year. He's definitely an upgrade. I'm not saying he's going to have a bad year. He has talent, and I don't think he's washed out. But the Jets had a double-digit edge rusher on the other side. They also had a Pro Bowl defensive tackle. Well, what was going on there, Hassan? They had 42 sacks. They didn't have a bad defense. He just didn't have it.
His next contract's on the line for Reddick.
Oh, yeah, to prove it. Yeah.
That's motivation.
Mm-hmm.
That's motivation.
I mean, Will McDonald, first-round pick, 2023, double-digit sack guy. Quinnen Williams in the middle, established star.
Oh, I'm not questioning that the Jets have some key defensive players.
I
just think Reddick's whole mind was washed out.
It was
a wipeout. Well, by the time he got on the field, the Jets were going nowhere.
Yeah.
And he had no future with them.
I think it was Steve White that said this. Maybe it was Burger McFarland. But someone came up with this term, and I like it. The U-Hauls are backed up. Season's over with. They're already planning
thinking
on
about golf. Yeah, yeah.
Golf and the beachfront bars in Tulum. They're ready to go. The U-Hauls are backed up.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of what scares me is because, again, the defense was still productive. They weren't backing him up. He still had the star players.
But, Lee, on the other hand, Light doesn't make a move like this without doing his due diligence. He doesn't. And he's tight with Roseman, and I'm sure he talked to Roseman.
Is he?
Yes.
I did not know that.
That's his guy.
Yeah, Roseman actually introduced Light to his wife.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think Light likes Joe Banner, but he likes Roseman.
I can't say.
Well, he doesn't like Joe Banner, but he likes Roseman. I've seen him at owners' meetings. They're close.
I don't think Joe Banner and Jason Light are exchanging Christmas cards.
And I think Roseman would be honest with Light in terms of Reddick.
If what Steve told me is true, they would have to.
Well, the film's the film. I mean, Roseman's still a year removed from the guy, and I don't know. I'm not as high as I was before. We'll see. But another thing Jason Light said, Ira, is that he said he often thinks, man, if fans only knew. And, of course, that goes to the media. Like, we don't know what really goes on behind the scenes.
Okay, Jim Mora.
And Light said, one tough part of his job is you can't go out and defend yourself on decisions because you can't go throw people under the bus or really explain what happened.
Mm.
You just have to make a decision and realize that no one's going to really know the truth and you have to deal with it if it goes bad.
Well,
and
ultimately, it's Light's call, Lee. It's Light's call. I mean,
he's the man in charge.
Yeah, unless... so I heard that. I'm like, come on. It's still your decision, like you said. And you could still tell more of the truth than you do, and maybe try to put fans more in the loop, or use the media a little better to get your truth out there in a different kind of way.
Maybe he's suggesting that a scout on occasion stood on the table. You got to draft this guy, and it turned out to, you know, be a mistake.
Well, I was going to go a step further.
But Light makes his own evaluation.
Sure.
I was going to go a step further. He was ordered to do a certain move. He doesn't want to burn that bridge.
In the third round, they're weighing in. In the third round.
That's a fair point.
Well, and to be fair, he wasn't talking about the draft. He was talking in general. So,
oh, in general.
Which could be, you know, hypothetically, why did we stick with Tryon Shanka for a fourth year? You know, maybe he's got coaches telling him that we'll back it up. We're, you know, who knows? I don't know. But interesting just his perspective on how hard it is for him. But I think he could probably get these truths out that he seems to want out there through the media. Buy the Sage a bagel and tell him, hey, I'm going to tell you this in 2 weeks.
I'm an easy mark, Lee. Maybe even a cup of coffee.
Ira, in 2 weeks, I'm going to tell you this now. In 2 weeks, let it trickle out there.
I like it. By the way, gentlemen, and I got to give you two credit because I wasn't there.
Oh.
But you guys broke a story in Indy. You did. And it turns out that it's got legs and it has now come to fruition. And as Steve said, when Mr. Bowles was asked repeatedly from a podium about game management and things, he talked in general terms. Yeah, it's important and blah, blah, blah. But when he sat down with you two hoodlums, he did more than suggest. He said, we're going to get somebody. We're hiring somebody. And Steve, they've hired somebody. I forgot the guy's name. I can't spell it. And I might be wrong here, Lee. I'm going to say two things. One, I like the fact that Bowles... it's a tacit acknowledgement. That has not been a strength of his. Number two, this is the controversial part. I'm not sure it was Bowles' decision to hire this guy. Now, it might be Bowles' decision on what guy you're going to hire, who you're going to hire.
Yeah.
But the idea that you got to hire somebody, I'm not sure that all generated, or that there was no outside forces at work. Think I'm off base on that one, Lee?
No. I got two questions. First one is, wasn't this Jackie Davidson's job?
We don't know that.
Well, Bowles told us there were three people in his ear. That was the thing that shocked us at the combine. And again, this is for clock management, game management decisions. He said on the podcast with me and Lee at the combine, I'm interviewing for a full-time person.
That's right.
He explained to us that there's three people in his ear and maybe there's hold music and it's crazy and whatever.
Went to call a timeout.
He acknowledged that we're going to streamline it and make it better. So he went out and did it. Now, the funny thing, a little bit, Ira, just on the media side, so this report came out that he hired this guy who used to work for Jacksonville.
That's my second
and,
question.
Greg Allman put it out there that he was hired as the director of football research. Now, if you go on the team website, it's listed under the front office, director of football research. So these other reports came out, you know, not really saying what the guy did. So I saw it. I was like, well, let me call Bowles. Todd, is this the guy that you told me and Lee is going to run your clock management? I reached out to him last night. He's like, yeah, this is the guy. This is what I was talking about. He's my guy. I'm like, oh, okay.
Wait a minute. What are you doing calling Bowles? That's my job over there.
So that's what we reported today, that he's hired this guy. Now, I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Wait, is this guy going to work behind the scenes with research, or is he going to be the game day guy?
Once again, I thought that was Jackie Davidson's job. Is she
leaving? I want the game day guy.
He's the game day guy. Zach Bestline, if that's how you pronounce his last name. Now, they've got a big analytics team with the Bucs, okay? Jackie Davidson... it's been reported, and she said it. She helps with contracts as well. And she's like the number two person on the contracts. And obviously, a team's got a lot of contracts. And she's also involved in analytics and was one of the voices in Bowles' ear. But this guy's been in Jacksonville for 7 years as an analytics guru.
Was he a game day guy in Jacksonville?
Game day guy. The only thing I could find, I don't know what he did last year. The only thing I could find, and I scoured everywhere, Urban Meyer used to speak glowingly of what a great decision maker he was behind the scenes.
This sets up for my second question. Is anybody disturbed that Bowles now has two guys on his staff that are Urban Meyer rejects from Jacksonville? I want absolutely nothing to do with Urban Meyer.
tell us who the first guy is, Lee.
Well, the first guy is a new defensive line coach who also coached USF.
Charlie Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if this guy Bestline was a Urban Meyer reject. I mean, he didn't get fired. Urban Meyer got fired,
you can't point to the defensive line. Well, that was one bright spot in Urban staff.
Yeah.
I wonder who they asked to get a gauge on this guy. I wonder who they reached out to.
Well, we'll find out at the owners' meetings, Ira. Or you'll be
Liam Cohen.
You'll be patrolling the halls and the buffets.
Are we all in agreement that we're glad that they got somebody?
I thought they had somebody. So to me, this is a borderline non-story.
Okay, Steve. It's not hyperbole to say these decisions, if you screw them up, it could cost you a game.
Well, my only reaction to this is, and I've said it already, I thought that was Jackie Davidson's job. So what happened?
Well, both told us there were three people. So
yeah, but you can streamline, and if she was this person who's, what did she do wrong that she's no longer doing?
Well, I'm guessing, if I just had to guess, I'd say those three people each had, hopefully, unless the Bucks are insane, each person had a different duty. So maybe she was strictly clock management, or maybe she was strictly down and distance decision making.
Maybe another person.
Okay, what you're saying is this guy's also going to be, hey, this penalty taking.
He's going to be everything. Yeah.
Okay,
maybe somebody else was a challenge person.
Right,
went to challenge.
I see. Okay.
So this guy apparently does it all, and many teams have it. So good for the Bucks. Good for Bulls. Worst case, he doesn't have to listen to him. Right, if he thinks he sucks. All right.
But meanwhile, you guys broke that story. So
Steve,
there you go.
He typed it up.
We did, Ira, and so good for us. Who cares? All right. So, Sage, look, other things going on with the Bucks. You know, a lot of fans are getting a little crazy. Not a lot. It's very few. But some fans, that they're very happy that Light has continued bringing back his guys, which, honestly, as the NFL is, the Bucks are a real boring team, right? Because they had a boring head coach.
Yeah.
And they bring all their guys back. Yeah, they're our guys. That's not new blood exciting. There's no controversy. Nobody gets arrested. Nobody gets
except for Reddick.
Nobody punches cab drivers anymore.
All right.
You know. But the Bucks re-signed Sua Opeta, guard from the Eagles. He was brought in to compete with Ben Bredesen last year.
And Hall from the Jets. Re-signed.
Well, some people are convinced that Opeta
John Hannah.
That he was winning the job last year, but he's back off an ACL from last summer. They did the same thing with Aaron Stinney. He blew out his knee in a 2022 preseason game. They brought him back 2023. He started most of the season. Here's Opeta. What do you think?
Lee, whatever they're doing, it's working. They're a relevant football team. They might not be a charismatic football team. Do we care about that? No, not really. Although it could pump our numbers up a little bit.
Yeah.
They're a relevant team. They're a good team. I've seen some power rankings got them up to number 8. I mean, that ain't number 18. That's number 8. How many better rosters are there in the NFC? One or two, maybe? Philly? You know, Detroit, maybe? I mean,
a couple of guys out of CBS, one of which is, I've never met the guy. We planned to meet once upon a time. Didn't happen. He's a good guy. He came out with a top 10 teams in the NFC. Guess who the 10th team is? The NFC.
There's only 16 teams in the NFC.
Guess who was number 10 team? The Bucks. He had the bungling Bears. Okay, they had a nice offseason.
Cody Benjamin, CBS?
No, that guy's a clown.
He had the Bears over the Bucks?
Yes. And he had the 49ers, who are a hemorrhaging talent. They're hemorrhaging talent. And the premise about the Bucks was, they just added their own players outside of Reddick. They just had their own players. Well, wait a minute. By using that premise, how the hell do you have the Bucks ranked below the 49ers? The 49ers were not in the playoffs last year. They lost all these key players are gone. That were the core of their team. And he still has the 49ers. I just couldn't figure it out. And I swear it was a repeat of last year. What was the biggest issue we heard last year about the Bucks from the non-Tampa Bay media? They didn't do anything in the offseason. Same crap. They didn't do anything in the offseason. Yeah, they kept their team together, who was pretty damn good.
Steve, what's wrong with keeping this offense together? Is there a problem with
thank
that?
Thank you.
There's nothing wrong with it.
This defense is going to have a lot of new faces when the draft is finished.
Better faces.
Better faces.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it at all. It's just not.
But it's not sexy, as Steve would say.
You're going to wave goodbye to Chris Godwin for no reason?
You got to pacify the guys up in Philadelphia.
Well, this came up with Opeta, right? So do you have any, like you said, they're keeping their guys. They trust them. That's where the Sage stands.
I have no problem with bringing the Opeta back or Hall. They're cheap. And the Bucks, if the Bucks had a year to at least look at the guy, maybe judge their character a little bit. They like what they saw, and they're bringing him back. They're not counting on these guys to be major contributors.
One of the former high priests of the PFF tribe was on Mina Kimes' podcast. I wrote the story up already
Sam
Thursday
Ponson.
Morning. And he was, you know, like, okay, well, if you were Jason Light, what would you do? You know, one of these kind of things. They're going through every team. And he mentioned, well, they got to find some. He goes, sometime Lavonnie David's going to retire. Yes, they need a pass rusher. I also looked at left guard. Like, where is this? Someone's got to point out to me how people are saying Ben Brennison is so horrible that he needs to be replaced. The Bucs were one of the best freaking offensive lines in the game.
They ran the ball. They protected.
Yeah.
Well, what are you knocking the offensive line for?
By the way, they brought everybody back. Oh, you know, that's a sin for some. But where is Brennison somehow Garrett Gilkey that he must be replaced? I don't see it. But this goes back to my firm belief in anything. You don't fix something that's not broken.
For me, he's more than adequate. Brennison's more than adequate.
Ira, Jason Light jumped on WDAE radio. One thing he said...
You mean the station that Joe Bucs fan is back on?
The Joe Bucs fan show on the weekend. Absolutely.
Highlighted by Ira Kaufman.
One thing he said, he referenced needs on offense. Now, that could be blowing smoke.
Well, that's music to your ears, Stevie. You're talking about bumping up the offense.
He referenced that, but I think between the candid tone in his voice and the way he said it, and he sort of caught himself... It appeared he was hinting that the Bucs are very interested in taking an interior defensive lineman. And he referenced the Eagles, you know, sending waves of rushers. You know, bottom line, Light eventually said, my favorite thing, just take the right guy. And all these rules about, oh, you reached for this, you reached for that. No, just take the right guy. You're fine. Right? If a guy was a high second round pick, you're excited about him. If he goes 27 overall, he doesn't all of a sudden suck.
I think if you're going to have that attitude, Lee, which Light talks about every year, take the best available. I really think, Lee, even with some of their needs on defense, they need some things. Lee, when you compare them to most of the other 31 teams, they're not glaring holes. They're not glaring.
Inside linebacker?
For this year? Not glaring. Well,
I mean, if you trust Servasio Dennis, that's a different story. I don't trust him. He's a nice player. He's a really smart guy. But can you stay on the field, please? My only issue.
But it's not a pass rusher necessarily that we're talking about.
Well, it's not that.
Or a quarterback.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I mean, we're not talking about quarterback.
A critical position. Okay, yeah.
So I understand Light saying it this year, Lee, because take the best available player. Unless the guy's a quarterback. Unless the guy's a quarterback. And I'm not taking a running back in round one.
No.
I'm not doing that.
No.
Well, look how much they've loaded up. I mean, they added Anthony Walker Jr. as an inside linebacker. Guys started a ton of games. Friend of Levante David. As you wrote, Ira, they're not desperate.
They're not
desperate. Maybe they should be. And really, that's the GM's job, is to figure out, we are desperate here, just nobody knows it.
Are you okay with the depth in the behind Vea and Kancey? Are you okay?
Okay with it?
What do you got, Gaines?
Yeah.
Get
okay.
better.
Yeah.
Get better. You know, look, Vea doesn't play a lot. Kancey doesn't play a lot either with the games he misses. So that's reality.
He's got some tread.
That's
got
reality.
Some tread on those.
He's 30. Vea? He's 30.
Given the fact this draft allegedly is very deep on interior defensive linemen, it wouldn't shock me. No, Light picked the guy second round.
All right, I got the big money question for you. The important question.
How many wins are the Bucs?
Not that one. Oh. First, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there. Family name. Family owned. Curry family. C-U-R-R-I-E. BillCurryFord.com. If you're going to see the Rays, they are a mile north of the Rays games, right? So you can shop for a vehicle before, after a game. Sean Sullivan will talk.
Hunt down Sean Sullivan. He'll talk to you.
He'll talk some Rays with you, too, if you want. He's got strong opinions on everything. All right. So, and of course, FloridasEliteRestoration.com. Get there. Be prepared. Storm damage, fire, flood, mold. Don't mess around.
Call them before you call your insurance company, too.
Listen to the sage. Exactly. So, Ira, I'll just say it, and then you guys can go.
This is quite a buildup over here, Lee.
My number one draft desire for the Bucs, and I'm going to poll the fans Thursday or Friday.
Is a wide receiver.
No, my number one desire, first round, if I could prioritize it and have my way, I'd get an edge rusher.
I'm not going to knock that, Lee. I can't knock that.
Now, you don't know about Reddick.
Now, if you really like three or four of them and they're off the board, I'm not taking the fifth guy.
As in a reach?
I'm not taking the fifth guy. You don't have to do that. You know that little group that Light talks about, Lee, all the time, where he talks about a little...
Mike Beal?
Yeah, a little Mike... a subset of players, like three or four guys, like...
Yeah, they always have, like, a floating five. Like, if we're in this range, we like these five guys.
Okay.
Like they did with the offensive tackles the year that they moved up to get...
Worse.
And suppose they got four edge rushers that they could be... Shamar Stewart, guys like that. Mike Green... Guys like that, they're not going to get Abdul Carter, and they're not going to move up to the second spot to do it. You're not giving up a couple number one draft picks. You know. So anyway, if one of those guys is there at 19, I got no problem with that. I don't want to reach, and if all four are off the board, I got to have an edge rusher. That's where you screw up. I'm just saying, I would not be opposed to that if they stick true to their board.
What's your goal? Your dream pick?
I want the Campbell kid. I'm sticking with him. Now, he's got some medical issues, Lee.
Shireen Williams, who you know very well.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, she works for Florio now.
And a Hall of Fame voter.
She wrote, when news of this injury of Campbell's came out, she wrote that in general, it could be up to an 8-month rehab.
Didn't he just wow everybody at the combine?
So she was given a range. The negative range is 8 months. Now, when I first wrote about Campbell's injury, like, hey, maybe this guy might slide to the Bucs as a result.
That's right.
Some readers of JoeBucksFan.com like, well, this guy's not going to play as a rookie. Do you want to draft him? And I'm like, okay, that's a fair point, because if you want to make a Super Bowl run, do you really want to bank on a rookie who had no offseason, no underwear football, no training camp, and throw him out there to the Wolves in week 3? Do you really want that? So I think that's a fair point, given the fact that Bucs sure smell like they also think they can make a Super Bowl run.
Interesting way to look at it, Lee. I have not heard anybody say Campbell's not going to play in 2025. I haven't heard anybody say it. And, Lee, you read the pundits as much as I do with the mock drafts. Quite a few of them have Campbell going to the Bucs. Quite a few of them.
The guys who I respect do. These clowns that work in the draft industrial complex, they have to have a mock draft every week. Every week.
Or a 7-round mock draft. Still one of the stupidest things I've ever
heard. And I'm still not going to out the guy because I'm just not that kind of guy. But someone, a very prominent mocker, very prominent, has a very high visible platform, told me to my face, do you think I'm worried about accuracy? You got another thing coming. Well, what the hell am I even wasting my time with you? I'm going to call these guys schlock drafts. Because that's what they are.
What did that guy mean, Lee? What's he in the business of doing? Just throwing names at a wall?
Here's what I think.
Ira, simple. Your boss says you got to do 7 mock drafts. Okay, so you realize
I did one for the trip.
You realize you can't do them all accurately. You're playing games and you just spit them out. You don't care.
Here's my view of what they're doing. They're acting like they're Admiral Yamamoto of the Japanese naval fleet, and they're playing war games to figure out if they can lure the American fleet at Midway to wipe them out. That's what I think. It's like a form of war games. Well, if this guy does this, what are we going to do? Well, if this guy does this, what's that? You know, that kind of crap. I don't care about that. I want accuracy. Who is this team going to draft? If you don't know, don't waste my time.
All right, so let me turn it back to Lee. Lee, your priority. And first, your dream pick, first round, position or person?
He set me up by the same person. Well, I'm leaning toward Campbell. I was all in on Campbell until the injury. Now I'm like, I'm waffling, as I would say. I'm waffling. But I will be happy if they get one of these three players.
All right.
Campbell or Mike Green or, and people are going to crap in their pants when I say this, this Ibuka from Ohio State.
The receiver.
Yes, he's a Chris Godwin clone. And sooner or later, I know Jalen McMillan's on the roster. I get it. Sooner or later, they're going to have to worry about a world without Evans and Godwin.
You would think Evans would depart before Godwin. You would think.
Well, I hope so, because that means Godwin's injuries, he's going to recover from that. I hope that's the case. Nothing against Mike Evans. But
maybe you need a 6'3" angular receiver to eventually replace Evans. You might be thinking about that.
Look, it's hard to win a Super Bowl without a true number one receiver. Chris Godwin's not that guy. Evans is that guy, and we'll see what happens this year with him, Ira. Nobody ever says, man, we got too many great receivers.
Steve, this edge rusher, it's not an obsession with you. It's a reality.
Obsession with me.
This edge rusher thing, how much of that, where it's still your priority, is because of the film of Reddick last year?
I'm a little scarred by the Reddick film. I also think...
What'd you see? A lack of effort?
Look, he had 2 half sacks, and we've been through this before. It's just what didn't happen for him, which is why he got $14 million. I get it. He's a risk. He's 31. I don't know. Quinnen Williams in the middle, he's a Pro Bowler. He's a star. Double-digit edge guy on the other side. He's not going to have that with the Bucs necessarily. You know.
No, but he's got Kancey and Vea.
So, I mean, when you see a guy, a 1-sack guy and a 10.5 sack guy and a great middle guy, I don't know. So it's a little disturbing. It just didn't happen for him. So fresh start. But I don't bank on Braswell. Sorry, I don't.
Shock!
What happened with Yaya last year? I don't know. I like him as a player, and they like him, but you can never have too many.
Is it fair to say Yaya Diaby is the Bucs version of Leonard Floyd? That if you put someone on the other side who's pretty good, Yaya could be a decent player. He's not a number one edge rusher yet.
I see where you're going, Lee. I see where
he plays
the
run. Great athlete. Gets pressure.
Hustles.
Not bad against the run.
He's not going to be.
No. I'm not. I'm just like, you know. Right now, he reminds me of Leonard Floyd in that when Leonard Floyd played with Aaron Donald, whenever Leonard Floyd ever played on a team where they had a top-notch established edge rusher, he did well.
Yeah, he's an 8-9 sack guy for
thank you.
Every year.
Thank you.
8 or 9.
Diaby's he's a little tentative on the finish sometimes, and he can't beat double teams yet. So if he had 8 sacks next year, nobody would be surprised.
And by the way, I'm not killing him for being Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd was a guy I wish the Bucs had a couple years ago. So I'm not anti-Leonard Floyd. I'm not anti-Yahya.
I like the fact Reddick usually comes off the left side, Lee. I like that so Diaby doesn't have to change his side. And for a young player, that can be difficult.
So Lee's a Campbell guy. You're a Campbell guy.
I'm a Campbell guy.
Campbell soup.
And I think he could fall to 19 because there's some health issues. Yeah.
Is Bowles going to drive this pick, Ira, since it's pretty obvious, not 100%, but pretty obvious that they're looking to add a defensive
firepower. I think Bowles will drive this pick.
You think?
And I think Light will listen to him. I do.
You mean he hasn't listened to him before?
And it's going to be a defensive pick.
So you think Todd Bowles is picking this guy? Todd Bowles is playing GM in the first round? Is that what you're saying?
Bowles is going to have significant impact.
As in, Light gives him 5 guys and Bowles says, I want one of these two?
It could be a corner. Lee, are you going to go crazy if it's a corner?
No.
No, not any good player is going to help.
I'm not against a corner. Now, Steve had a comeback to this. My issue with a corner is if you draft a corner 19, well, you think he's going to start, so that means Jamel Dean's probably gone, cut. Do you bank on a rookie corner making a Super Bowl run? Now, Steve would say right away, oh, they had 2 starters in Philadelphia.
Of course,
but that's an outlier.
Of course,
they
benefited from a ferocious pass rush.
Of course, yes, which I think the Bucs aren't that far away from being Philly-like. But isn't that an outlier, a rookie corner at Super Bowl?
I don't think necessarily.
Well, the Bucs had 2 second-year corners. Made us want a Super Bowl.
Sure, but those aren't rookies.
No. Ira, Chiefs run out of rookie corner? I don't remember. Recently?
Their first Super Bowl, maybe?
Maybe McDuffie.
It's not common. That's what I'm getting at. I'm just not an outlier kind of guy.
I don't think it's going to stop you from winning a Super Bowl.
I'll put it this way. If he sucks, you're not going to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So there's that.
By the way, Lee, you mentioned the wide receiver, and I think the guy's a really – intriguing prospect.
Just like Chris Godwin.
But, Leaf, hear me out. Let's say Light pulls the trigger at 19, takes the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to play much?
That's a good point. That's a fair point.
Which guy is this, Ira?
The wide receiver. Is he going to play a lot this fall?
You bring up something.
Yeah, if he's good. He'll play every game.
Over Godwin and Evans?
No, he'll play. Those guys don't play every snap.
If they do draft Ebuka, just hypothetically, is that a signal that they're concerned about Godwin?
Could be. The reason I mentioned impact as a rookie is because McMillan came on so strong at the end.
Yes,
if you didn't have that,
yeah,
then you'd say, well, this guy's going to be your third guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Evans missed games last year, and Godwin's a question mark.
Yeah. I don't know how many Bucs fans saw this, and I don't know how many people were able to read anything out of this, but Chris Godwin was walking up and down the aisle of an airplane yesterday. He put it up on Instagram. I guess his son was restless or whatever, so he was walking up and down the aisle. There was video of it. Now,
see any limping? Any limping, Lee?
I didn't look at it that. I didn't take out a microscope and look that far, but it wasn't visibly obvious.
Was he in coach or in first class, Lee? That's the question.
I think he was in first class.
I think he was in first
class.
All right,
well, we'll send you home to watch the video, see if there's any turbulence that you can spot, and we'll be back.
We'll be back later this week.
Absolutely. Yes, we Sage has a lot to say.
Absolutely.
Lot on his mind. All right.
Steve, don't forget the donuts.
Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. And Cosmic Donuts, here we come.